The black bears had roamed the woods. They were gone now. Mule deer could still be found, though not in the great numbers he had seen 2 decades ago. At least the beautiful folds and thrusts of land, the profuse and varied brush, and the trees were still as they had been. For long stretches, he walked beneath a canopy of California live oaks and sycamores. Now and then he passed a lone cabin, or a cluster of them. A few canyon dwellers were half-hearted survivalists who believed the end of civilization was approaching, but who did not have the heart to move to a place even more forbidding. Most were ordinary people who were fed up with the hurly-burly of modern life and thrived in spite of having no plumbing or electricity. Though the canyon seemed remote, they would soon be overwhelmed by encroaching suburbs. Within a 100-mile radius, nearly 10 million people lived in the interconnecting communities of Orange and Los Angeles counties, and growth was not abating. But now, crystalline, revelatory light fell on the untamed land, with almost as much substance as rain, and all was clean and wild. On the treeless spine of a ridge, where the low grass that had grown during the short rainy season had already turned dry and brown, Travis sat upon a broad table of rock and took off his backpack. A 5-foot rattlesnake was sunning on another flat rock 50 feet away. It raised its mean, wedge-shaped head and studied him. As a boy, he had killed scores of rattlers in these hills. He withdrew the gun from the backpack and rose from the rock. He took a couple of steps toward the snake. The rattler rose further off the ground and stared intensely. Travis took another step, another, and assumed a shooter's stance, with both hands on the gun. The rattler began to coil. Soon it would realize that it could not strike at such a distance and would attempt to retreat. Although Travis was certain his shot was clear and easy, he was surprised to discover that he could not squeeze the trigger. He had come to these foothills not merely to attempt to recall a time when he had been glad to be alive, but also to kill snakes if he saw any. Lately, alternately depressed and angered by the loneliness and sheer pointlessness of his life, he had been wound as tight as a crossbow spring. He needed to release that tension through violent action, and the killing of a few snakes, no loss to anyone, seemed the perfect prescription for his distress. However, as he stared at this rattler, he realized that its existence was less pointless than his own. It filled an ecological niche, and it probably took more pleasure in life than he had in a long time. He began to shake, and the gun kept straying from the target, and he could not find the will to fire. He was not a worthy executioner, so he lowered the gun and returned to the rock where he had left his backpack. The snake was evidently in a peaceable mood, for its head lowered sinuously to the stone once more, and it lay still. After a while, Travis tore open the package of Oreos, which had been his favorite treat when he was young. He had not eaten one in 15 years. They were almost as good as he remembered them. He drank Kool-Aid from the canteen, but it wasn't as satisfying as the cookies. To his adult palate, the stuff was far too sweet. The innocence, enthusiasms, joys, and veracities of youth can be recalled, but perhaps never fully regained, he thought. Leaving the rattlesnake in communion with the sun, shouldering his backpack once more, he went down the southern slope of the ridge into the shadows of the trees at the head of the canyon. The air was freshened by the fragrant spring growth of the evergreens. On the west sloping floor of the canyon, in deep gloom, he turned west and followed a deer trail. A few minutes later, passing between a pair of large California sycamores that bent together to form an archway, he came to a place where sunlight poured into a break in the forest. At the far side of the clearing, the deer trail led into another section of the wood, in which spruces, laurels, and sycamores grew closer together than elsewhere. Ahead, the land dropped steeply as the canyon sought bottom. When he stood at the edge of the sunfall with the toes of his boots in shadow, looking down that sloped path, he could see only 15 yards before a surprisingly seamless darkness fell across the trail. As Travis was about to step out of the sun and continue, a dog burst from the dry brush on his right and ran straight to him, panting and chuffing. It was a golden retriever, pure of breed by the look of it,